There is no God in this home. Only I. Ooh, wee. Welcome to the Metal Gamers Podcast.
Holy shit.
Episode 2004. Just kidding, it's 204. Oh. I'm your special guest, Kyle McLemore, joined with special guest, Michael Greenwell.
That is me.
And joined by special guest, Joseph Defibaugh.
I don't mean to alarm you guys. Wait.
Ah!
What the fuck
Whoa.
Was that?
I didn't mean to alarm you. I'm sorry if I did.
Definitely. Yeah, I appreciate the...
What?
I don't know.
I don't like that. I don't like that Joe's learning new tricks.
That was surreal, yeah. Jeez, I hope that picks up in the audio somehow or whatever. Anyways, yeah, we're short a Josh Goodwin. He might show up. We're not sure.
He's fucking
dead.
He's fucking
dead. And Micah is unfortunately just
also dead.
Being a little piss boy somewhere.
He's still being a little piss boy.
Who sure. wants to bet he's watching a show?
No.
I mean, that's a thing if you already had a plan. So.
Yeah, people watch True. Shows, I think. I don't know.
But the fact that we live in a streaming world, I think it's odd.
But if he made a plan.
He loves canceling those, though.
Speaking of streaming
world. Oh, my God,
you're
right.
His favorite thing to do is not do plans.
Speaking of streaming world, you guys heard about Prime now having ads?
Ugh.
Get the fuck out of here.
Amazon Prime now has ads, but you can get rid of them for an additional fee.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, the companies are just starting to bully all of their fucking customers now, which, I mean, they always have been, but it's getting pretty brutal lately.
Always has been.
I think...
Hotel.
Netflix continuously. Nice. Ironically, on Amazon Prime right now, if you want to check out House
Wraps
Hotel.
Back around.
Yeah, interesting. Like, Netflix is doing, like, higher prices, as they always do. Like, it's like every, like, couple months. It's like, oh, you can pay a little bit more. And they're starting to introduce ads and shit now, too, which you can pay for a more premium version of that shit, so you can watch your dumb Netflix shit. Oh, it's not great. We're just wrapping back around to cable again.
Damn near, man. I mean, shit.
Yeah, thankfully I don't... Like, especially because, like a year ago, 2 years ago, like, me and my family did the whole, like, hey, we're going to share all the different things, the Amazon Primes, the
Same.
Disney Pluses, the HBO Maxes, and the Netflix, and all that fun stuff. We were just sharing codes back and forth and being like, oh, as a family, we're all paying for all of them, but each person is kind of carrying their own weight and, like, splintering the cost of all of these services.
This person
so you
pays
can watch
for
whatever
Hulu,
you want.
This person pays for Amazon. This person pays for Netflix, et cetera,
exactly.
Et cetera.
And now they're doing the wonderful crackdown of, like, you can't share codes. And it's like, well, fuck. Like, I'm not going to pay for them all. Like, I'm just not going to. I'll pay for Netflix if I want to watch something on there, and then I'll cancel it and go hop somewhere else for a while.
I don't openly endorse pirating. I think pirates are wrong, scum, unethical people that, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Joe, where'd you get that tricorn hat?
I wouldn't worry about it. I just tricorn hat store.
But of course.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even call it piracy, because, I mean, fuck. Like, if you don't own, if buying something isn't owning, then stealing isn't piracy.
Interesting.
Right? That's the whole fucking...
Kyle found a
Damn.
Loophole.
Damn, he's fucking got him.
Dude, he's fucking
I guess that's
gone.
A piece of the news at some point. The news is going to be fucking wacky, because I didn't write any of it down, so it's going to be weird. But Ubisoft was talking about, like, oh, people need to get used to not owning their games. They need to start feeling comfortable with not owning their games.
What a bad fucking comment.
A fucking course it would be Ubisoft that would say that, though.
Right after they came out with a game that people liked. Like, they came out with that Prince of Persia side-scrolling Metroid game, and everyone's praising the fuck out of it. Like, wow, they must have had a secret development team that hid away from the CEOs and the managers of Ubisoft and made this great game.
They probably did,
for
yes.
A shit yeah. company has a decent game once in a blue moon, and their ego goes through the roof instantaneously. It's like, oh, we actually are that good. Holy shit, you know what? You guys shouldn't own games.
Yeah. Which, kind of... I'm glad that, like, ever since I got back into the physical realm of, like, oh, I definitely want to own my games. Like, anytime a new game comes out, I'll try to go get a physical copy of it just so I have it. I'm starting to feel like that's the right move.
I'm glad you're back in the physical realm because, man, it was a lot of work trying to reach metaphysical Kyle.
Yeah, he's rough. He's a rough guy.
Had to do a ritual every time. I mean, for fuck's sake.
But within a year or two, like, everything's going to be digital for sure. Like, streaming services or just, like, not producing. Like, there's so many games coming out that aren't physical in general. Like, Alan Wake 2 just being like, we're not putting out a physical release.
Well, remember the first, I would probably say one of the first major gaffes when it comes to that, the Fallout 76 physical release. What the fuck?
I don't remember. Was that just like, oh, here's a box, but no game?
It was a cardboard disc in the shape of a CD in a game box that had a code to install the fucking game.
For real? They had a fake disc in there?
I don't know if that's still true, but...
I would have been like, I'm going to put this in my console and I'm going to sue Bethesda for... It caught on fire, you son of a bitch.
I thought it was just next gen cardboard technology.
Yeah, you fit so many terabytes on that bitch. Turns out, a fire hazard. Still spun, still worked. Weird. Huh. Probably works better than Fallout 76 at the time, anyways.
Yeah, true. Big true. Weird, that's the second time we've spoken about that today.
The weirdest thing is that I pre-ordered Helldivers 2, and that's coming out on disc, and I was like,
that's pretty
sick.
Cool.
Like, I'm excited about that.
That's
kind of wait for Helldivers 2.
It's kind of awesome, actually.
I was incredibly surprised. I'm like, $40 still. Like, even in physical. Like, oh, $40. Awesome. Fuck yeah, let's go.
I've said
Helldivers
it.
Is amazing.
I've said it many, many, many times. We are in the era of the indie.
Yeah, this year more so than ever. We'll get to it more on the news. But right now, let's talk about some shit we've been playing. I do wish Josh was here because I would like to hear about how his addiction to Pal World is going.
Dude, that thing has its claws in him.
Yeah, I believe since we last recorded, Lethal Company has unfortunately fallen by the wayside.
It'll come back.
Society has done the Woody meme where they let go of that toy and said, I do not want to play with you anymore, and picked up fucking Pal World. And it has been rocking the nation, if you will. Little quote-unquote indie developer, the people that made Craftopia, which Joe was singing Craftopia's I don't want to say praises. Yeah, singing his indifference about
it. Sure was
has come out with this Pokemon survival like game, which it's definitely got its hooks in me, not as much as Josh and I think anyone else. Like, I'm casually enjoying it. It is absolutely like, hey, you load this game up and it is a beautiful 1080 or 4K 60 frames per second Pokemon like game. You're capturing shit that's not Pokemon, they're pals,
Pokemon
and your little
adjacent.
Pal sphere. You got your little team of pals. But you can also build a base, and like the biggest tediousness of survival games is like, oh, you got to go smack them trees. You got to go smack them rocks. And then you got to build your base and maintain your base. Where here, it's like, hell, you actually get to live alongside your little monster friends. And they help you maintain your base and gather your resources so you can go out and do the fun shit. Like shooting people in the face with a gun.
it makes the game not feel so lonely in a weird way. Like, you return to your base and you're like, these are all my pals. They're here.
Absolutely.
Like, I got my boys.
The boys.
It's really fun. And like, it's also really cool because I don't know what any of these creatures are going to be. They're not Pokemon, so they're actually going to be like, oh, what's that over there? That's cool.
Are you reliving that childlike sense of discovery when you see a new one and you're like, I don't have that one yet. I need that one now.
Yeah, absolutely. A little bit. Like, it's doing what Pokemon should have done forever ago and giving you this open world Pokemon experience. And it's really fucking neat. It's got its hooks in me, and I know it's got its hooks in Josh in a way that I didn't expect it to. I really didn't. Like, I knew he was like hooked on Valheim in a way that was unhealthy, but that was kind of unhealthy for. Yeah, I didn't expect that. Like, we were just jokingly talking about it. I think it's funny. Like, for the last year or two on this podcast, I've been joking about like, oh, Power World, that's gonna be the one. I can't wait.
Sure enough,
and it came out, and I was like, oh. It's real. It's both real and people actually like it. How silly.
Now there's still some jank to it, and I do feel like it is still somewhat empty in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's version like 0.13 or some shit like that. Still incredibly early.
It is still early access, technically, which is odd. I thought it was actually coming out 1.0, but it is what it is. There's still some T-posing here and there, some people falling through the world.
Some popping.
When you try to go up like an incline, your dude doesn't know if he should walk up it or climb up it.
Yeah.
It just turns into, I'm just going to not deal with this piece of environment. Like, oh, that sucks.
What if I just flip out for a second?
It's something something to think about, too, for people who are curious about jumping into it, who haven't quite pulled the trigger yet. And Kyle, you'd agree with me, maybe you disagree, but I feel like it's a crafting survival game first and then a Pokemon game second.
I agree. Yeah, I entirely agree. Because, I mean, like, right out the gate, it's like, oh, you're hungry. And so you have it. There's mechanics in it where it's like you have to deal with the survival aspect. You can't ignore it. So I do love the fact that, like, the pals just automatically know what to do. It's not like, oh, yeah, you have to tell this dude to go do a thing. They know what to do. They just automatically start doing the shit that they're supposed to be doing. And I think that's so fucking cool. It takes so much of the tediousness out of survival games. So if you're like on the fence about like, oh, it's a survival game, I don't feel like doing all that tedious work, it takes so much of it out. And I think it's really cool. And there's so much like discovery. There's dungeons, there's bosses, there's weird ass environment. There's an Elden Ring tree in the distance for some reason. I'm like, I don't know what's up with that.
And you can catch the bosses. The bosses aren't just something to beat. It's you can catch them. They can be yours.
You can catch humans, even though it's technically ethically against their rules. Yeah. I wonder if that's a, like, they put that little tag in there because it's like, well, we can't stop you from doing it because mechanically we don't know how to stop you.
They haven't been able to program it out yet.
Yeah. So it's like, well, you can do it. You shouldn't. Even though you can make guns and you can give all the little pals guns and that's fun. I still haven't even gotten that far. It's kind of deep into the game when you can do that.
The furthest I've gotten is a crossbow. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten around that same area and stuff, slowly building up my base and catching 10 of each style of pal so you can get like extra bonus experience. It's fucking neat.
It's a very fun, mindless game. I really am excited to see where they go with it.
Now let's go over a little bit of the controversy of this game. Of course, everyone is looking at this shit and being like, hey, Pokemon, are you cool with this? Hey, Nintendo, the people that's willing to throw anybody into jail and ruin their life over like any little thing, are you cool with this? And so far, it seems like, yeah, this game is different enough to where Nintendo really can't make a move on it. They've come out with a statement and been like, yeah, we're looking at it.
It's basically a statement that was like, yeah, we know. Leave us alone.
Stop messaging.
How would we
this?
Not know?
Yeah, because they like threw the hammer down on the dude who made the mod to put Pokemon in Pal World, and they put that dude up for execution instantaneously. So that guy is like hanging from a rope somewhere.
Execution, huh?
They've got the Nintendo satellite that does the fucking laser from space. They'll get you.
They got the Nintendo Gallows made out of fucking Nintendo Labo. It's it's all cardboard, but hey, it works.
Old school Donkey Kong's the hangman.
I like this picture we're painting. But there's a lot of people coming out being like, this is made by AI art. Like a lot of unfounded shit where people are like just kind of slandering the game a lot and its developers a lot of like death threats towards the developer, which is always a silly fucking move, but I know Pokemon fans are like rabid crazy assholes sometimes.
Stop having fun. Here's the thing. Exactly. if you are an honest to god Pokemon fan, why do you not want competition? This lights a fire under Game Freak's ass and will drive them to make a better game. I feel like,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, I think most people have said like, oh boy, I really hope that this lights a fire under Game Freak's ass and they actually decide to do something cool with it.
It's true. I just said that.
Yeah. But I'm throwing my words into there as well, because as I said, everyone is saying that. So that just proved my point. Anyways. some of the AI accusations and stuff are not like the only interesting thing is because the game developer, like one of the head guys, was like, I'm interested in AI. I think it's pretty cool.
It is cool.
Had like a previous game come out where it was literally spot the AI image, where there was like, here's a, is like a pick three kind of a thing where it's like, oh, here's some images. Which one's the AI image? And so they technically use AI to make a game. But in reality, like, I think it actually helps people identify AI better. So I don't even know what's up with that.
I feel like I can sniff out like an AI thing from a mile away. It's always usually really obvious.
Yeah, it's usually used in band flyers for local fucking shows for some reason.
Even when it's at its best, it's still obvious.
When I see bands use it, it makes me so fucking mad. So aggravating.
I made this art myself.
Unless it's Double Terry Wayne making our bands fight, which I think is hilarious.
That's different.
Like, that's like, using AI for funny shit is awesome. And even using AI for like, like games like Vaudeville, where it's like, oh, the NPC is using AI to like literally have a dialogue with you. I think shit like that can be really cool. But it's like, hey, we're just going to make it make the game entirely. We're just going to like take the leash off and let it run. Like, no, that's just lazy and you're not doing shit with it. But, you know, the Pandora's box has been opened, so that's just going to keep going. So let's keep an eye on it, I guess.
Yeah, there's no closing that bitch. Actually,
no.
A sunspot will close that bitch.
Eventually, yeah.
You can jump in that bitch.
This guy gets it.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, you can do that. But outside of Pal World, me and the crew have still been doing our Baldur's Gate 3 co-op campaign.
Nice.
Still love that game. Every time I boot it up, every time I get in it, I'm like, this is a wonderful game. Once again, every time we've played it co-op, I found something I didn't see before. I was like, here again. Oh, it's something new. Wow. Can't believe it. I don't know how many, like, we're 55 hours into our co-op campaign now. So, like, holy shit.
Yeah, you're lucky. I almost jumped into your character last night when they were waiting on you.
Really?
I would have figured it out.
That's funny. Yeah, you could have. You still been playing it, Joe?
Yeah. So I haven't gotten very far, and I haven't had a whole lot of opportunities to play recently, but I got to Act 2, finally, after doing the creche part, which was fucking awesome. I got my first game over. I loved it. But
oh, really? Yeah, because he got the special game over that can happen in the crush.
It was a great experience. Would save scum again. But like I said, I got to Act 2. I got to the shadow area, and right there is about where I stopped. I do plan on getting back into it this weekend, hopefully, but that remains to be seen. There's a lot to do. But I'm with you. It's dense and I can't wait the next playthrough to hit all the things that I missed, whether I know it or not, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. I can't wait to do like an honor run mode with you guys or something like that.
It'll be fun.
All bard run. Let's make them all play songs together. It's going to be great.
Oops, all bards. Let's go.
Other than games, though, I have been over consuming a shit ton of music. Like, I've been absolutely going hard in the paint. I started, as I told you earlier in the month, or earlier last month, that I was going to start doing, like, a monthly thing. And I officially started that in the music channel in the Discord. And I'm going to keep up with it. Again, maybe people don't care. Maybe someone cares, and maybe someone will find something I share as their new favorite band.
Yeah, and now might actually be a good time for me to announce I'm going to start monthly. I'm going to be going and reviewing Joe's review of these albums. So I'm going to be listening to the album that Joe reviews and reviewing his review.
Where are you at so far?
I haven't listened to it yet.
Wow, you're a real piece of shit. your review follows the month after mine, so when I do my February, you're doing my January.
Yeah, actually, it was kind of shit. I don't know.
Now, these are all month by month. So I am whatever makes album of the month was released that month. So I'm not going to like retroactively, hey, I discovered this band's album from 2022 and listened to it a bunch this month. It's this one. No, it's current.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, that'll definitely make our metal band of the year a little more interesting because we'll all have listened to these, or at least I plan on listening to them because I think it's very cool, very interesting. good way to introduce myself to some new music through Joseph Deffyball. He's recommended me so many good-ass bands in the past, I don't see why not.
It's true, I was there.
Yeah. Speaking of, we gotta go to that show.
Yeah, we do.
Whenever that is. Was it Tear, Aether Realm?
Trollfest.
Dread Crew. Yeah, Trollfest and the Dread Crew of Oddwood. Good lord, what a fucking lineup.
We got good lord.
Good god.
Mother of God.
At what used to be the Haven in Orlando, whatever it's called now. So if you're in Orlando, come join us.
The Conduit, I think? Something like that. I don't know. Yeah, come join us.
But maybe we'll check out that game store next door as well. If it's still there.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit. That place is sick. Wow. Man, it's been such a long time.
And then we'll go to that subway right next to it.
Okay. Anything else, Joe?
No.
No? All right. Mike? What you been up to, buddy?
Say it.
Tekken 8.
He said it.
Tekken 8. Let's talk about it.
It was good.
Yeah.
Good talk.
Fuck yeah.
Went through this story. Well, for one, I bought it on PS5 because, you know, the game is built for PS5. And that's what I played Tekken 7 on and every other Tekken as well. I wasn't really wanting to buy it on PC. I wish I had. Because I fucking forgot, because I haven't been on PlayStation for so long, that to play an online game on PlayStation, you have to buy a fucking monthly subscription. Boo. And that pissed me off so bad that I like didn't play it for the rest of the day as soon as I tried to do that. But I spent fucking most of the first couple days like going through arcade, like normal arcade mode, and then like getting in the lab to remember how to play the game to begin with and like remember how to do launches and combos and stuff like that. Glad I did. Because when I got, actually, it didn't matter that I did, because when I finally got into story mode, just toss all that shit out the fucking window. The story does not play how a Tekken game plays at all. The NPCs do wacky shit. Your character does wacky shit. It makes no fucking sense.
You said it was
super anime. And neither
does
the story. The story makes no fucking sense in like the best way possible. Like, yeah. It is the most anime fucking over the top bullshit story that Tekken has ever produced.
Hell yeah.
And it is amazing. And like, don't take it seriously. Jesus Christ, is it stupid? Oh, I love it. It's so good.
So good.
It's so stupid, but it takes itself seriously in the best way.
Yeah.
Oh man. So I've never really delved into a Tekken. Tekken's always been a game that I would go over to my friend David's house when I was a kid, and he would have Tekken. And I would play with him, and I would always have Street Fighter. And being a primary Street Fighter guy, like anytime I play Tekken, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't get this shit at all. It doesn't even play like Mortal Kombat. Like, it plays like nothing I've ever played before. It's very much like, you got to learn how to play this shit, or you're not going to do well. And so I got this game, also got it on PlayStation 5 physical. Shout out. Got my little keychain pre-order thing.
Good job.
But thanks. The first thing I did was, all right, I'm gonna hop into the story. Didn't go to the arcade thing, didn't go to anywhere. It gives you like a little splash screen. It's like, hey, this is how you play Tekken if you want to know. I'm like, sure. And I was like, nope, I didn't grasp that at all. So I like tooth and nail got my way through the story, which I loved. It's bonkers bananas. Like, the first thing you do right off the bat is like, you're in this decimated city where Kazuya is like, I'm the fucking god of this place now. And Jin is motorcycling his way through it, motorcycles his way up a fucking building, and then flings his motorcycle at a helicopter that has Kazuya in it. And they're like, you're fighting now. I'm like, this is the craziest shit I've ever seen. Let's go.
Hell yeah.
And it just escalates from there. Every character is both awesome and hilarious. Like, it's such a good blend, but it's also a beautiful game. The fighting is so fucking kinetic and like, oh man. But after I did the story mode and finished that, I went and did the arcade quest where it shows you how to play fucking Tekken. I was like, god damn it.
To be fair, it wouldn't help you because the story mode, again, does not play like Tekken plays. Like, it's fucking, it just breaks the rules constantly. So,
yeah.
Rule of cool.
And it's constantly giving you characters that aren't even on the roster technically. And it's like, learn these movesets. I'm like, why? Why?
But only for this fight. And then the next round, you're on a different character. In the next round after that, you're in still the same character, but now the moveset's different again. Like, good fucking luck, dude. And Tekken movesets aren't necessarily like simple. They're you can mash through some of them, but some of them you really can't. And it's fucking like when your launch changes between every round, like what the fuck do you mean? How am I supposed to get good at this?
Like, true. Yeah, it's but, wild.
Yeah, that annoyed the shit out of me, but that's only because I know how to play Tekken, so like it was constantly like breaking my brain trying to be like, okay, what fucking moveset do I have now? You know?
True.
But yeah. Other than that, I have no complaints. It was a great fucking time.
As long as my main man cool. Bob is in it, I'm there.
He is not.
What?
Bob is not in it.
Bob is not in
it. I'm not playing this fucking game.
He's probably going to be a DLC character.
I want Bob. Yeah,
I mean, Eddie is a DLC character, so why not?
Yeah, the only people that are in the game right now are people who they actually put in the story, even if only for a second.
Shame.
Yeah.
If you ask me, the main character needs to be Bob. Like, it needs to, like, revolve around him. Dude, fuck
bro,
what's going on
I don't
on
even
with
know what Bob's
shit.
Story is. I've
he does have an
Tekken
orbit.
Forever. He does have an orbit.
Speed and weight.
Fucking whoop your ass with Bob.
Fast ass. I feel like they almost ripped off Street Fighter 4 in a weird respect, where they had like a huge dude who was super fast, but I don't know. They've always been going back and forth with weird shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the state of fighting games. But yeah, the arcade quest seems pretty fun. It's very much like, hey, you make your own little avatar guy and walk around in this very much Xbox 360 avatar style thing. It's weird. Like, after seeing Street Fighter 6's like fight lounge and stuff, this just doesn't compare, unfortunately.
Oh, not even close. It's actually awful. Like, I fucking hate the little avatars. Like,
it's pretty gross to look at. If they had some Wii music, I might be cool with it, but they do not.
We talked about it before, anything. Too. Like when we were watching the preview stuff, we talked about it on an episode of the podcast. Like, it's just the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my fucking life. I hate it.
Yeah, absolutely. But the character chapters are great. It's once again like, hey, you actually do the King of Fighters tournament with whatever character, and they have like a whole cinematic ending, which is what I love the most about Tekken. It, like, I remember going and playing the old ones, and that's all we would do is just play through those and then see the endings. And they're super satisfying, super hilarious. They take characters that I'm like, I don't know if I like this character, and make me fall in love with that character. I'm like, okay, totally on board. So far, I think I might be a Leroy main. Like, he does the Wing Chun like fighting style, like super super fast punches and so many counters and stuff. Like, I fought some like online ghosts with them and whooped their asses pretty hard. I'm like, oh man, I might be in it. Like, I'm
Leroy.
I'm
do you mean T-Pain?
T-Pain, yeah. But speaking of T-Pain, I mean, fuck, like, the character creation stuff is back, and so you can actually like make whatever character whoever you want. Like, I've seen like Leon Kennedy and like, all the different Resident Evil characters. I've seen some unsavory historical characters in there.
Like, which ones? It's,
I don't know, but
Andrew Jackson.
It's wild. It's funny. I fought a ghost that one guy was just like a straight up zombie, like crawling around. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What is this game? Like, it gives you a lot of freedom. Like, comparing this to like Mortal Kombat 1, Mortal Kombat 1 doesn't give you shit for content. It's, they give you a story that like looks really good and is okay at best. And they give you like a handful of characters that are okay at best, with a shit ton of cameo characters, super expensive DLC, and a like little chessboard mode that is insufferable to play. It is not fun whatsoever. Like, Mortal Kombat 1, 1,000% is the weakest of the modern fighters that is out right now, for sure.
Really?
Sad to say, yeah.
Shame.
I think everyone agrees, too. Like, most people that were playing Mortal Kombat 1 are going back to Mortal Kombat 11 because it was so good. Like, it actually felt good and had characters that had, like, a lot of variety to them.
There was a, like, there was a stiffness to Mortal Kombat 1 I did not like.
Yeah.
Joe was just reading a really interesting article to me yesterday that was basically like all the new versions of games that people aren't playing over the old version of the game. It was like more people are playing Fallout 4 right now than there are playing Starfield. There are more people playing Battlefield 5 than there are people playing Battlefield 2042. There are more people playing Mortal Kombat 11 than Mortal Kombat 1. There are more people playing Payday 2 than Payday 3. Things like that. Yeah. Like, it's kind of depressing to see, honestly.
Nobody wants to see that. They want the next great iteration, but fuck, man.
But here we are.
Here we are. We're doing it.
Here we are.
I mean, there's a lot of games that are doing very poorly right now. We'll probably talk about that a bit in the news, I'm sure.
However, Street Fighter 6 and Tekken 8, everyone fucking loves.
Fucking great, man. They're doing great. I love it.
They're doing great. We got this Dragon's is the year of the fighting game.
We got Dragon's Dogma 2 on the horizon looking like an absolute fucking masterclass, so we'll see what happens.
Final Fantasy 7-2 coming out looking pretty good.
Looking pretty fucking good.
They're finally releasing Disc 2 of Final Fantasy 7.
Hell yeah.
It's actually pretty interesting. I was reading this article about them talking about doing the remake for Final Fantasy 7 and how much, like, as soon as they released that game, they wanted to remake it.
Interesting.
Because it was such a new technology at the time that they were just like, as soon as they put it out, they were immediately like, this could have been better. Fuck. Well, like, because they were like the first at the table to be like, hey, we're going to do some 3D polygonal characters and figure out how that works. And like, immediately they were like, man, we could have done a better job.
Considering that's why, like, how... Go ahead.
It was just like every iteration of Final Fantasy 8 and 9. They're like, we kind of figured it out and we like what it is.
Yeah, they did a really good job considering how early to the game they were on it. So,
absolutely. True. Yeah, it changed the game, or it changed, like, revolutionized the way games were saw and played and everything. But being that was the first one they did, like, Final Fantasy 6 was like them perfecting the pixelated top down style of Final Fantasy. And they were talking about, like, if we were to remake Final Fantasy VI, it would take us, like, 20 years to do it.
That's a fucking exaggeration and a half, dude. It's not that big of a goddamn game. It would be an undertaking, that's for sure, in the same way that Final Fantasy VII is being an undertaking right now. But holy fuck, dude. That dude's so full of shit.
I still think if they were to do it, I still don't think they need to do it in this, like, Final Fantasy VII remake style. I think they should just do it in the 2.5 HD pixel remaster style. Like, make it look, have some depth to it, you know?
I want to agree, but I also want something from Final Fantasy VI that looks modern.
I'd want that too.
It's genuinely still, like, one of the best RPGs ever made, like... It's in the top five, if not anything. For
I don't know, man. I've played Two Worlds too.
Pretty fucking good, but that's not a JRPG, you fucking hack.
I don't know, man. What's a JRPG again?
A JRPG.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm on board. You're right.
So we've been playing.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing I've been playing that's worth talking about, yeah.
You played some Final Fantasy 14, yeah?
I did. The Mog Tomes thing is back, and I went on Ocean Fishing Ventures.
Nice.
That's it.
Ocean Fishing. Now it's time for the news. It may or might not be news. For today's news, Xbox doesn't know how to have a company.
Oh my god, they are fucking up, man. Holy shit. Like, you know, we talked about this forever, that we thought Blizzard getting bought out by Microsoft was going to be the saving grace for Blizzard. Fuck, were we wrong? Microsoft doesn't know what the fuck they're doing, man.
That sure was a move that they made.
Several. They laid off a shitload of people, and then they promoted the director of Call of Duty to be the head of Activision Blizzard, who hasn't been doing a good job for a very long time. Like, what the fuck are they
doing?
Look
at the last Call of Duty. Fuck.
True. Yeah, what is it? They let go of 1,900 people in their company.
Oh, that's it?
That is a pretty substantial fucking layoff.
We talked about
a lot of these, and there's a lot more. I'm not going to go over them because
more to come. Unfortunately,
every podcast I listen to, every fucking news section is literally like, "Oh, all these companies laid off a bunch of people." Yeah, we are in a video game bubble burst right now. Like, all these companies made a shit ton of money during the pandemic, overhired a bunch of people, and made a shit ton of money, and now they have to receive record profits again, but they don't have another fucking product to turn out right now. So the only way to do that is to get rid of their people. So I don't know how they're going to do that again next year. You can't do that again, and you're definitely not going to turn out a fantastic product again with significantly less people, with a more agile team, a more slender, trimmed down team.
We can move corporate
so
speak.
Fucking fast. Yeah, oh my God, these boys are running on treadmills. We can't even keep up with them. Jesus Christ. Like, I don't understand the thought process of it. So I got a feeling like the next few years we're going to see a pretty major slowdown in video games. Except for like Joe said, this like
we're in the age
the
of,
rise
the indie.
Of the indie. Like the indies are going to come out, and this is just the process. And I'm kind of happy about it because, like, these AAA developers are going to come out and try to shill you these shitty games filled with microtransactions and like DLC and just things that you don't want. There's plenty of companies out there still doing a great job. Like, we talked about Capcom still doing great, Square Enix is doing meh. Okay, sometimes it's hit or miss with them, really. It's like you're either going to get a really cool Final Fantasy or you're going to get a fucking Balan Wonderworld. I don't know why, but whatever.
We still got the ever persistent Squaresoft, or not Squaresoft, sorry, fucking From Software doing their thing too.
Yeah, From Software is doing a great job so far and hopefully taking care of people. Most Japanese companies, really, like all these Western companies are just like trying to hit them record profits
shit
as much as possible, and it's just not working out. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it, I guess.
Just sucks.
Shit sucks.
Shit.
Yeah,
sucks.
And I'm done with Game Pass too. Like, I know Josh is. I don't know if he talked about it on the last episode. Was he on the last episode?
He didn't. Remember. He get rid of his Game Pass version. Is now doing the Steam version.
Yeah, like he got Power World on Game Pass because it's on Game Pass and it ran like shit and he couldn't play with anybody on this server, and it also ran an old version
of
the game.
Yeah, it was an older
build.
So you
couldn't even update it. Yeah, so it's weird. So he canceled his Game Pass and went and just bought it on Steam, which I think is just how we should do anything. Like, anytime I played a game on Game Pass, it either downloads wrong or runs incorrectly or
something's fucked.
Something's wrong with it, and you end up having to go to Steam and buying it on there anyways. So it's just not worth having, especially with the releases that they're having. Like, ooh, Starfield, day one on Game Pass. I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't fucking work, and the game's not great. So I don't really see what's worth it. So it's shit. But they have talked about more and more about like putting Game Pass on third-party consoles, about like, oh, we might put it on Nintendo, we might put it on PlayStation. That came out a little while ago. It's like, yeah, you might as well. Like, I don't think that's really going to entice me too much, because what am I going to do? I'm going to play third-party games on Game Pass when I could be playing them on anything else?
On a stable environment?
Oh, I could play first-party Xbox games. Ooh, I could play Gears of War and a broken Halo Master Chief Collection? Cool. Can I play Halo 2 co-op? No? Fuck you. Why is it still a problem? But yeah, sorry. Oh, well, a little tangent there.
You should be.
For our next piece of news, PlayStation had their State of Play for January 2024, and it was okay.
It was an okay Play State?
Pretty good. Yeah, it was an okay State of Play. Let's get some of the dumb shit out of the way.
Tell me that dumb shit.
Zenless Zone Zero. It's one of those Honkai's. You know, fuck that shit. Dave the Diver is going to be on PlayStation now. That's cool. Except now it's featuring Godzilla, which I think is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
So, I'm into it. Yeah, that seems like a really neat game. Sonic Cross Shadow Generations.
Why?
Looks like they're bringing back some more classic Sonic Adventures 3D stuff and Shadow the Hedgehog stuff. And it's actually coming with some new Shadow the Hedgehog levels.
Huh.
Which means that maybe we're getting some more
Shadow the Hedgehog.
With a gun.
Hell yeah.
Future. Yeah. Let's
Where
go.
He fucking cocks the MP5 on the start screen.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Stellar Blade finally got itself a release date, April 26th, which is the, it looks like near, but it's not near, but it definitely has the jiggle physics that you want.
I'm in.
Right here. It looks good. I'm excited for it. Like, it looks stellar, if you will. Silent Hill, the short message, was a shadow drop that you could play for free. Like, they had the State of Play, and they're like, here's this spooky game. It's definitely not PT. Don't look at that. You don't even know what you're talking about.
It's not for PG. Sure. And I've actually seen a lot of people on Reddit talking about it, because I'm on like the Silent Hill Reddits and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, it's a good game. It doesn't feel like Silent Hill at all. Like, it doesn't have spooky things, and it doesn't have like creatures chasing you. And it's like, it's basically not Silent Hill, but it's really good. And like, then why what they even it? Slap Silent Hill on the name of it? Because it has literally nothing to deal with Silent Hill. Disappointing. I'm glad it's an okay game, but like, that doesn't help Silent Hill, I guess.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It seems like that franchise in general is kind of floundering. Like, they showed more of the Silent Hill 2 remake.
Yeah, oh, seems like, buddy.
Yeah, what do you think about it? Because I watched it, I'm like, yeah, it looks like Silent Hill 2, I guess.
It doesn't really look like Silent Hill 2. It looks like they're trying to make Silent Hill 2 play like a modern Resident Evil game.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Capcom's good at that. I don't think Konami's good at that. Yeah, it's also not what Silent Hill's about. It's not an action game. Half the time, you're supposed to run around the monsters, not fight them. And it's like a third-person shooter now.
It did seem like they showcased quite a bit of shooting. Like, I was like, man, he's really mowing through these monsters with these fucking guns.
It's not what the game's about.
Yeah. Like, because I remember, like, I've never really played a Silent Hill, especially Silent Hill 2, and I'm very curious about it, but it definitely seemed a lot more gun heavy than spooky, oh no, this is a problem for me kind of situation. Yeah, I think they're probably trying to chase that Resident Evil hype with the Resident Evil remakes and stuff like that. Looks a little clunky. Looks like the animations, he still kind of runs around the same way he used to in the old game. I'm like, all right, that's. Yeah, it's Bloober Team, and so far they haven't put a fucking thing that I like, so who knows? I shouldn't call her Team Bloober. That's my biggest problem, really.
Fucking stupid as shit.
Bloober. They make horror games. Yeah, but you're called Bloober.
Fucking idiots. Subverting expectations.
Really? Metro Awakening is a VR game, which is a prequel to the Metro series.
Cool. I'm not super interested in VR.
I'm not either, but I will say that this looks good, and it actually looks somewhat on par with like a Half-Life Alyx, which makes me go, oh shit, they're actually starting to figure it out.
Cool.
Which is good, because Half-Life Alyx was such a fucking cool experience that I wish everyone could experience. Like, if every game was even close to Half-Life Alyx, then I'd say VR would actually be worth investing in. But so far, that most games have not proven to be that. And this looks like it's actually kind of getting there. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, for Metro to do it, I think that's really cool, because that's such a cool series.
I agree.
And that company said that on top of this, they're also working on their next follow-up to the Metro series as well.
So let's go.
That's cool. And this is also, instead of coming out on PSVR 2, it's also coming out on, like, the MetaQuest and all that shit, too.
Sick. I unfortunately never beat Metro Exodus. I need to go back and do that, but good games.
You should. Pussy. Let's see. Dragon's Dogma 2.
Let's go. Yep.
Stop showing it to me. I want to play it.
Showcase the new class, Warfare, which makes it look like you can swap between weapon sets, which everybody was like, man, that seems overpowered as fuck. And then you're like, ooh, it's really hard to upgrade weapons in Dragon's Dogma. That's going to be a motherfucker.
It's gonna be
and also, it's going to have some real shit stats. You know, it's going to have like mid stats. So,
but yeah, that's so cool.
It's super sick. It's probably something you would switch to when you're like damn near max level and you got all the shit you could ever want. You're like, all right, time to play with all of it.
Yeah, exactly. It looks so cool. The fact that they showed a fucking wizard running up an ice ramp that he made and then pulling out a great sword and smacking a monster. I'm like, yo, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to let you play with some toys in this, and I'm excited. Like, every time I've seen a piece of this game, I want to play it. So I'm on board. Let's keep going.
What is it, March?
March 22nd. Yep.
Awesome.
Let's fucking go.
Coming out on everything except the Switch, like it deserves. Anyways, Rise of the Ronin, the Team Ninja open world samurai game that's definitely not Ghost of Tsushima.
It's Ghost of Tsushima.
Or Assassin's Creed. Or Sekiro. Made by Team Ninja, the makers of Neo and Neo 2. It doesn't look good.
Oh, no.
It looks okay. I'm not going to play it.
I really don't think it looks good. I was excited about it when they first showed it, like, forever ago. Like, you had, like, a gun. You were swinging around doing shit. I'm like, man, that looks cool. And I'd love being a samurai with a gun. Like, that's always a good time. But it looks like a fucking original Xbox game or something. Like, really? The graphics don't look good. Like, literally in the trailer, there's popping. Like, trees are popping in. Buildings are popping in. People are popping in. The animation look like dog shit to me. Like, he, like, used a grappling hook to yank a dude off of a thing. And then as soon as he hit the ground, he was back up on his feet. I'm like, is no one seeing this? Like, I've seen, like, other podcasts and stuff, like, talk about it. Like, yeah, it looks pretty good. I'm like, does it? It looks like shit to me. Like, even the bridge they were fighting on looked like garbage. The sword fighting that they were doing looked like absolute shit compared to Ghost of Tsushima. Where Ghost of Tsushima, like, plays like butter. Like, oh my god, the sword fighting is so good in that game that this just doesn't look like it compares at all. Like, the only thing is, to me, is that it's 19th century Edo period, which I think is, like, a more interesting take. It's almost like samurai meets steampunk, like, style. Like, the industrial age is, like, coming about, which is pretty cool. But outside of that, like, I'm not particularly interested in this thing. And it's also coming out on March 22nd, same day as Dragon's Dogma 2. So it's kind of fucked. I didn't even realize that. That's very soon. Holy shit. Until Dawn is getting a remaster.
Oh, sick.
Which looks cool. Like they went back and putting in an Unreal Engine 5, I believe. That's a good game. So if you haven't played Until Dawn, or if you just want to revisit it, that's definitely the way to go. Until Dawn is amazing. I can't believe that game's almost 10 years old. That makes me feel like time is just fucking blurring right by me. It freaks me out.
It is.
I feel like that came out like a few years ago, but it turns out it didn't. Judas is from the makers of BioShock. And boy, does it look like BioShock in space. And it looks pretty cool. It's got some very interesting animations and stuff. It showed like someone like body like unsintegrating, if that makes any sense. Instead of disintegrating, they were like forming in this weird molecular way that looked really
re-sintegrating.
Cool.
Like, oh, that's it, how I get out of bed in the morning.
He falls asleep and he's just a pile of atoms and just comes back. Good shit. But that looks cool. I guess keep your eye on it. It's Ken Levine, so it's definitely gonna be BioShock. But this time it's going to be in space instead of in the water, instead of in the air. They're just going a little bit further up.
Where can they go past that? How do they do another one? Is it in the sun?
I think they should have did a volcano one, but whatever. Could be on Mars. Could be a Mars one. It'd be fine.
It's just Red Faction.
Oh, yes. Of course. Here's a big one for you. Death Stranding 2 on the beach.
Boy, I actually am like, I like Death Stranding 1. We talked some shit about it, but it was mostly like, it's out of love because I wanted the game to be better than it was. But the gameplay was always king. The story was just interesting enough other than the flop ass ending that we just genuinely didn't like.
Story was whack, but I like the game.
I feel like now it is so whack that it's turned back around to awesome.
Yeah, I'm completely interested again.
Like, this story trailer was so far out of left field and so fucking stupid that I was just like, I think I'm back in.
Troy Baker as robot assassin Iggy Pop. Like, let's fucking go. Like,
I have not seen this trailer yet, and what the fuck did you just describe to me?
And on top of that, he's also fighting a robot ninja that is a baby? Controlled by a baby? I don't know. Sam is gray for a bit in part of it. That part confused me. There's like a doctor lady with like a hand. Like,
That's fragile. That's fragile. She has like little hands on her, like the cuffs of her shirt that like move. And do things.
Yeah, she could just use those.
And she was using them to cover her mouth while she was like performing surgery. It was really fucking weird.
It looks like you're going down to Mexico. It looks like, oh, you got to reconnect the rest of it. The rest of the chiral network. Like, just keep going across the rest of the world, which I'm down. Like, it showed like all kinds of weird and wacky environments. It showed like
deserts.
Environmental like flooding and stuff like that. That'll like break apart bridges and stuff.
Yeah, ooh, yeah.
Bridges. Like, God, I really don't know what the story is going to be, but it looks like it's going to be more, like, the gameplay is going to be more interesting. The story is going to be more wacky and wild. So I did not expect to be excited about this game, but I'm here stoked. I am.
It looks phenomenal, too.
The talking puppet that runs at like 20 frames per second for some reason.
Yeah, like, but it's like a stylized choice, though.
Huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it looks great. Like, Hideo Kojima watched Spider-Verse and said, I got to do that. I got to put this in my game.
It also seems like a funny companion character, kind of like Mimir is in God of War. And they even like they even make fun of like the placement of Mimir on Kratos for a second. Yeah. I think that's kind of interesting.
Don't put me on your ass.
Yeah, you know for sure that's what they're talking about. They're like, they're poking fun at
1,000%. Yeah, I mean, especially it being a PlayStation game.
Yeah, cool. I'm honestly very excited about Death Stranding 2 in a way I thought I wouldn't be. So
yeah, that's gonna be fun.
I figured I was gonna play it anyway, so I'm glad I'm excited.
True.
What else is Hideo doing though?
Hideo Kojima is also working on a new action espionage game known as Pheasant.
What?
Physint. So
currently.
He's claiming that this is going to be one of the first of the next generation of games, so maybe we'll see this on the PlayStation 6. I don't know. He's obviously going to be taking his sweet ass time. But
he also said it was going to be hopefully a game that will truly blend movies with games in its truest form.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because he's a huge movie buff, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not a shocker.
In collaboration with Sony, Kojima and crew are making a brand new next generation action espionage game named Pheasant that will transcend the barriers between games and movies. In other words, Kojima is returning to the genre he started and helped create with the original Metal Gear, which obviously he's claiming that this is going to be a culmination of his 40 years of experience with that shit. I'm like, give it to me. Holy shit. Granted, I'm obviously going to put this far in the back of my mind because he's working on Death Stranding 2 and OD, which is that other like psychological horror game that he's working with Jordan Peele on. And this panned out I don't know if you watched the trailer, but it shows him panning out and he's in the Paramount Studios in Hollywood.
Yeah.
With a giant pheasant sign above it. Like, this dude's living his dream. This guy is the Peter Molyneux that people deserved, you know?
Peter Molyneux who actually delivers.
Yeah, he's going to come out here and say all this crazy fucking shit, and you're going to get a product that probably has that in it.
He
somehow
will deliver.
He will deliver, and you will deliver. And Death Stranding too.
So we get Peter Molyneux who isn't connected to the thing at all. When the fuck are we going to see more Fable?
We're not. Just fucking get over it.
Game's dead.
I'm so excited to fucking see what he does with this. A Metal Gear that's not a Metal Gear. A spiritual successor. Like, I always assumed that Death Stranding 2 was going to go in more of a Metal Gear direction, but clearly it's just its own thing. And he has an idea for what tactical espionage action is going to be. And man, I can't fucking wait because I guarantee that this Konami's just gonna fuck up Metal Gear. Like, even with this remake of 3, like Metal Gear Solid 3 Delta or whatever, like, it looks okay. Something about it seems wrong to me. Very much like the Silent Hill 2 remake looks wrong.
Yeah.
Like, they're gonna fuck it up, and I don't know how, because they don't make games anymore and Kojima's not there to help them. So the only thing they did with Castlevania was give it to the Dead Cells guys and be like, hey, can you make a Castlevania? Because we don't know how to do it anymore.
And they said, yeah.
Yeah, and they did. So
yeah, fucking oath, mate. I can do that.
Just like that. That's binding contract right there.
Speaking of Australian, Captain Boomerang swings in with Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. And I got to say, I'm a Captain Boomerang fan now because that dude's fucking hilarious.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but aside from that, like I watched a full playthrough of Moist Critical playing Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League because I'm morbidly curious about the game, and I really wanted to. I say I wanted to play it, but I wanted to know what the story was because this is supposedly still in the Arkham universe. I love the Arkham Batman games.
So fucking
they're so good. They're incredible storytelling, incredible gameplay. And this game, unfortunately, is really good storytelling with what looks like Fortnite gameplay. What we said since we saw it years ago, like, honestly, I don't even know why they delayed it, because they delayed it so much to just do the same shit we didn't want them to do.
Bro.
Yeah. You're still running around, like, rooftop to rooftop, shooting purple dudes. Like, it's Brainiac taking over the Justice League in Metropolis, and you're just running around. The traversal doesn't look fun. The shooting doesn't look fun. And every time it focuses on the Suicide Squad in, like, the trailer or, like, in the story and stuff, it's very much like Guardians of the Galaxy, like, funny shit. Like, sometimes there's a few moments that I'm like,
second.
Yeah, but sometimes the jokes actually hit. There was a few times where I'm like, oh, that was actually pretty good. Like, because it is an M-rated game, so there are some, like, violent, like, unexpected things happening, which is like, oh, shit. And they said fuck when I didn't expect them to. Like,
The HUD is the ugliest shit I've ever seen in a video game. Like, it looks like it is the most busy screen in the world constantly. You could barely see what's fucking happening in the game at all. Not like you really want to see it. Like, I watched quite a bit of gameplay of this as well out of morbid curiosity, and like, holy fuck, does it look terrible. It genuinely looks like a fucking horrid game.
Yeah,
in my opinion. Like, that's the kind of game that literally, like, makes my blood, like, freeze.
That was on his draft last year, so he really... really lucked out there.
Painfully boring.
When I put it on that draft, we had only seen the announcement trailer, and it looked fun.
Yeah, like the idea of, like, oh man, we gotta kill Superman. That's a neat concept, and it's Rocksteady. You know, like, that's always the thing that we've been saying. Like, it's Rocksteady. Like, they gotta do it right. It's gotta be good.
It's Rocksteady. But
unfortunately, it's not.
Apparently, they didn't want to make the game. They got forced to by Warner Brothers.
Yeah, which explains why so many of them left and now are starting their own studio. So, you know, but like, the numbers popping off looks like dog shit. Like you said, the UI is terrible. Like, every time you complete a mission, it does like this whole like mission complete and like does this whole like breakdown of how many fucking points you made. And it gives you like an item, and it could be a legendary. And it's always just a new gun. Like, you literally, everyone is just getting guns. Like, it's not specialized one way or the other. Like, it just sucks. And honestly, like, the story at the end, like, because I watched the whole thing, because Kevin Conroy does such a fucking good job. Every time Batman shows up, I am thrilled. The story is so fucking cool, and every time he talks, I'm like, oh man, he is doing it. Like,
it is absolutely
the best part of this game. He is Batman. And unfortunately, what they do with the story, I'm not going to spoil it here. If you want to spoil it for yourself, go do it. But they do Batman so fucking dirty at the end of this game. And the same with Superman. Like, the Justice League in general, like, you know, like, yeah, kill the Justice League. That's literally the point. That's what the fucking mission is. That's what the game is. But like, every time, you would think that, oh man, the company that made like the Mr. Freeze fight, where you had to like think every time that you were trying to take down Mr. Freeze, was such a cool fucking boss fight, that this would have some cool boss fights. But every single boss is literally, here's the MacGuffin, anyways, you should shoot him now. And so you just shoot every fucking superhero to death, and that's it. Cool. Like,
great. I love that.
Jesus. Nothing clever about it. Nothing cool. And honestly, the way that these heroes die feels so disrespectful and stupid. And of course, the way they set up the ending, which is like, oh, you got to play the last mission. And the last mission, I will kind of spoil, the last fight is just a repeat of a previous fight you already did. So even like the big bad like ending of fighting Brainiac is literally just doing a fight you already did again, which is disappointing to see. And then the next seasons that they're going to have after this are just like, oh, there's a multiverse.
Great.
That means there's 13 Brainiacs out there, and we got to wait to get to the next one. Like, here's the stupid loop that you have for your game as a service.
Games as a
there
service.
There's no shot this game makes it 13 seasons.
I agree. No,
there's
fucking
no
way.
Shot. It's, you know, we said the same thing. You know, we said the same thing about Halo. Like, it wouldn't make it through a lot of seasons, but apparently Halo got turned around pretty well. So who knows?
I'm so curious how many seasons they have.
Seven? Something like that? I don't know. It made it through several seasons, and apparently people really enjoyed, are enjoying it now.
But the thing about Halo is that Xbox can't let Halo die. You can't, like, it's impossible. Halo, like, Xbox can't be like, hey, remember Halo Infinite? The Infinity Halo we made? Yeah, it's dead now. Like, and we killed it. Like, they admit that. It's impossible.
Now, they blended some money and injected it into it. It's like, live, damn it, live!
Exactly. Oh, but... God, yeah, it's so unfortunate to see. Like, it's not fun to see where the Arkham series have gone. I am kind of excited because I plan on doing more streaming. I've been uploading my Ninja Gaiden playthrough over at Steiger the Sorcerer over on YouTube. So if you want to check those out, I'm going to be doing like character action long plays for the most part. And I absolutely will be doing the Batman Arkham series at some point.
I caught some of those streams, Ninja Gaiden ones. And man, that game is infuriating.
What do you mean? I love that game.
No, you don't.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, dumbass. You don't love shit.
Oh. Anyways, that's it for the news. Now it's time for topics. Anyways, for today's topic, I want to ask you guys, what are some of your experiences when you received a next generation console? I just kind of want to wax poetically about some of my moments where I went from having one console to getting the next best thing.
Think about it. Go ahead.
Well, for me, the biggest jump for sure is got to be from the N64 to the original Xbox.
Like, yeah, that's a hell of a jump.
I never had a PlayStation. I was always just like, I don't want to. My friend always had PlayStation. So I was like, he'll have PlayStation and I'll have whatever the fuck else is out there so we can like play whatever game we wanted to. And Nintendo just wasn't ever cutting it for me for some reason. Like even as a kid, like child or games that were made for kids just never fucking appealed to me. And I remember my dad being like, oh, Microsoft's making something called the Xbox. For some reason, my dad was like super savvy about like new fucking consoles and shit coming out. And I was like, holy shit. No one's, what's an Xbox? It's got an X in it.
Never heard.
It's
got to
be great. Holy shit. And I remember like playing Halo for the first, Halo 1 and Dead or Alive 3 were like my first games on the original Xbox. And that is absolutely the point where my video game addiction kicked into overdrive. Halo became such a staple in our house, and Dead or Alive 3 was a fighting game like no other. Especially coming from a Nintendo, because the only thing we had was Street Fighter 2 back on the Super Nintendo, and N64 didn't have shit for fighting games, except for Fighter's Destiny, which was not great.
I think one of the more...
Oh, boy.
I think one of the more jarring experiences for me when it comes to jumping generations was when I got a PS3. Because... At that point, the internet was so much more accessible on consoles. Everything was new and shiny, running in 1080p, and things hooked up through HDMI. I feel like that was probably the most noticeable jump. That and the fact that after the PS3, I went full-blooded PC, so...
yeah. I think it was Xbox 360 for me, because like firing up an Xbox 360 and playing fucking Halo 3 online... on like what used to be like the golden age of Xbox Live with the Switchblades fucking menus and shit.
Please.
Man, I think about like the Jesus Christ, like just flipping around on an Xbox 360 just felt like you were in the new fucking generation of gaming. I don't think I'll ever get those days back.
You won't. You're an adult.
It's
now.
Like, yeah. Which is fine. Yeah, it was also dark times, but but like genuinely, like that joy of that console that console brought me is like something I don't think I'll ever feel in video games again. Which is fine. It's just it is special.
I do feel like new generations are kind of hitting a plateau where it's like the next generation is just a little bit better.
How much and the game, better can it get? Like, fuck. Yeah.
Like going from the PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5 did still feel like a fun, momentous moment where I finally got my PlayStation 5 and I hooked it up and I can immediately tell that the graphics were just that much better. And the gameplay felt that much better. But I very quickly reverted back to like, yeah, this is good. This is where I'm at with gaming. Like it felt like I had a PlayStation 4 all over again, I guess, if that makes any sense.
I will say going back and seeing a game run on a PS4 does put in perspective how much better a PS5 looks and runs.
Absolutely.
It's genuinely hard to see in the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because I feel like PlayStation 5 is like kind of what your brain thought PlayStation 4 games looked like already.
Yeah, exactly.
They already played good. They just didn't look as good. And now they look as good as you thought they did, as your imagination carried it. Another one of my big moments is also on the Xbox 360. I was obsessed with Oblivion to the point of like full blown addiction.
Oh, same.
I was just like playing the shit out of that game. And then I finally managed to get an HD TV. Like just a small little HD TV.
720p.
And I flipped that little fucking switch on the Xbox 360 that went from standard to HD. And holy shit. I was late game on Oblivion. Like I was already like up in the snow veil or what the fuck ever, like fighting the invisible troll and all that shit, like doing in-game shit. And I flipped that switch and stared at my TV like, oh my God, I have to start over. Like,
I feel the same way. Like when I upgraded from the 3-prong red, white, yellow cables to component composite cables, like, or composite. Yeah. Just like, holy shit.
Oh God, I remember staring at my sword for like 15 minutes like, oh, the details, oh,
that game looks like shit now.
That still looks pretty good.
Oblivion.
It's funny too, because I remember like playing Skyrim and booting that up for the first time on the PlayStation 3 when it first came out, like Jesus midnight release Christ. And being like, this doesn't look as good as I thought it would.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was going to be such a huge jump from Oblivion, like it was for me playing Oblivion to Oblivion somehow. But sure. I was like, oh yeah, it's not going to happen again.
And Skyrim on the PlayStation 3 was just a fucking atrocity.
True. It also came out significantly like kind of short, like between Oblivion and Skyrim was a relatively short amount of time. It was like what, 2006 to 2011?
Yeah, something like that. Or 2005, and now we're like, maybe. 2006, you might be right. I don't know. It's like we have computers
like
5-6 years.
Now we're 12 years into Skyrim.
Yeah. Yeah. And we still haven't seen dick of Elder Scrolls 6.
Honestly,
we just got broken-ass Skyfield or Starfield.
I'm so worried about Elder Scrolls 6.
I'm saying it. Yeah. I'm saying it now.
Bethesda ain't what they used to be.
I'm saying it now. If Elder Scrolls 6 is bad, it's over for Bethesda.
Probably.
Oh, absolutely. God, I hope it's not.
Microsoft will.
I think
Microsoft
Todd Howard would step down after that.
Yeah, Microsoft will say you are now an agile team.
God, I hope not. But I could see it. I just want another fantasy, like open world, sim style game.
Yeah,
I don't think Avowed's gonna do it.
It looks kind of like, stiff.
Yeah, it looks stiff and it looks boring. I don't know what it is about it. It just doesn't look great.
But hey. We have Pow World.
We have Pow World. That's all that really matters. But yeah. Thanks for listening to the Metal Gamers Podcast.
You're welcome.
Thanks for joining us. And hope you have yourself a wonderful day. I'll see if I can bring this fucking podcast shit back.
No, we're not. We're not doing it weekly.
Might.
These guys are lucky to get it once a month. We're about to change it to a quarterly podcast.
I mean, we kind of have been. We've been taking a break.
This shit's going to be fucking biannual
little
podcast.
Theme song we might shit out real quick and start doing some new shit. You know what? I think it might be time.
What is he doing?
For topics. I'm just kidding. We did that already.
<He's> got
listen
no.
to Metal and play some video games. And have yourself a grand old time. Kick each other's ass in Tekken 8 because that's what I want to do. Let's go.
Kick each other's ass.
Tekken 8, baby.
Fucking 1v1 me in Tekken 8. I ain't what I used to be. You'll probably win.
Oh.
Come on, Heracon. We know you asked to catch these hands. I know I added you on Street Fighter and then got cold feet. I'm ready to fight now.
Well, you can catch Bofa. Both of these nuts got him. He didn't even see it. Fucking slug my balls, you know.
Ticking these nuts.
What?
Bye.